tonight, Sam Panionovich lets us know what's going on in the Chicago sports world. Then later, I'm getting the sense that Dr. Lars Dingman may call into the show. But first, Patty lets us know what's going on in Springfield as we're live from downstate. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. And that is the intro to the show. Patty Vasquez, paging Patty Vasquez if you were there. This is Craig Collins. We can't hear you at the moment. So Craig Collins here at WGN Radio for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I'm not sure when, Adam, we will get her, but Rob, are you there?
I can hear something in the background.
Okay, you hear
sounding
it.
Vaguely like Patty, but it's
like
it's kind of like under the wall.
Oh, wait.
Is that the ghost of Patty Vasquez?
What's happening?
Oh, now we
Help
hear you.
Help me! I'm here.
Isn't technology grand?
I thought they were trying to take you out downstate.
I keep trying
Patty.
All this. Anything? No?
No?
We can hear you.
Can you hear us?
Now? I can hear you way loud. I have you turned up.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we can hear you now. The show is now a thing.
Oh, is it happening? It's
kind
of like the other night.
Yeah,
when
it's sort
the
of
show...
like the other night. Yeah, when it wasn't happening.
It was actually last night, wasn't it? It seems so long ago. See, here's the thing. You can hear me now, but I can barely hear you.
Wow.
So speak. If you yell, is that a problem for our listeners?
No, that'll
so
be fine.
So can I do my Garrett Morris impersonation now?
Yes, please.
Patty, can you hear us in Chicago?
That's
because
perfect.
Because we are broadcasting
live. Yeah, this is
going
to be a lot of fun. I'm going to go deaf trying to hear you guys.
Yeah.
I know. This sounds perfect. How do I sound now? Can you hear me now?
You sound fine. You know what we might want to do is take a quick commercial break and see if we can,
Wait.
These issues. Adam's running around now. Adam, our engineer, is running. He's doing stuff. I didn't know he was
I think
that
that's
fast.
More fun than anything else. If you can go to WGNradio.com and watch our engineer, Adam, run around the studio,
right.
That would be a lot of... Wait, are you guys
no, we're
in
not.
The showcase studio?
No, we are not. So you can't see any
can't.
Of us. So you'll just
they
see a bunch of empty studios.
Oh, that would be very sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. I'm watching it. I'm one of the screens in here.
Watching it happen right now?
Yep.
I think this is fantastic.
We're nailing the beginning of this.
I was in the showcase studio this morning. I stopped in to do the Steve Cochran show.
Yes.
That's a big production. I keep forgetting. There's like daylight and everything coming in through the windows. It's crazy down
there. They
have
like traffic breaks in the middle of
all
their
the
segments.
Time.
Yeah.
They have business. They have a dedicated sports guy. That Dave Ennett, he stays in the studio the whole time.
What?
It's kind of crazy.
That's crazy.
You would think it's because there's more people listening in the morning.
Yeah, something like that.
So I'm going to need everyone to tell everyone they know that's listening right this very moment to tell their friends that even if they're asleep, to just turn on WGN radio in the background.
Yep.
Even if it's just so we can get you an associate producer.
Yeah, that sounds really great. Let's do that. Let's work toward me having a minion.
Well, I don't know if Ross Cochran likes being called a minion.
Well, no. I didn't mean Ross. I meant if we get one, that
would call
person
him a,
will be
yes.
a minion. Yeah.
Yeah. Could they wear like a minion costume?
Oh, I would hope so every day.
With the goggles and the overalls and all that stuff.
Adam's saying you should take a break or something. He can fix some technical stuff.
He doesn't tell me what to do. Okay, maybe we should do that. All right. Right back after this, we'll figure out if I can hear the show or not. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We went downstate. Thank you for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from Springfield. You know, Craig, maybe my hotel is haunted. I've been having trouble with this room. Maybe that's why we were having technical difficulties.
That could be it. Oh, by the way, I have a giant hole in the back of my shirt, and I didn't know all day today, so it might just be one of those days.
It might be one of those days. I thought that might have been the effect we were having. It might have been going through the hole.
Yeah.
It might be. That's...
It's a cursed shirt, and it's ruining everything.
No. I'm having one of those hotel rooms where there's a, it gets too hot if you turn up the heat because it's cold outside when you come in. And then so I turn it up and then I'm like in an oven and I'm being persecuted and my eyes start to dry up. So I turn it down and then it gets too cold. Like it's somewhere like I need it to be 71 and a half degrees. If it's 72, it's too hot. If it's 71, it gets too cold.
I think radiator heat. And the trick to that, I think, because I have no control over my heat, is just to open a window and let the heat go.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I'll check during the news if that's a possibility. I do that. Have you ever done that when you just turn the heat up just way up and then open a window?
Yeah, it's the best.
I don't know why that feels so good.
Because you can
like a,
walk past the window and get like the little breeze thing going if you're getting too hot. It's a nice, I don't know. It's a nice kind of mix.
It's like a sauna with a window.
Exactly correct.
Right. I don't know why we like that so much. I am broadcasting from Springfield, and it's not quite the same coming down here. I started coming down here last April, so it was springtime, and, you know, the colors were starting to come out on the trees, and it was and I actually, you know, this spring kind of unfolded in front of me. I came down for 7 weeks down here, and it was beautiful. It's a little different in the wintertime, Craig. It's kind of like, you know, cold and, right. And grim.
And without a budget or anything, it's kind of depressing?
Even more so. I have a dilemma. I have a selfie dilemma.
This is a first. This is a first. You've never had a selfie dilemma.
I've never had the selfie dilemma.
Okay, go ahead.
So for those of our listeners, new and old, who may not know, I take something called a selfish selfie. I keep taking selfies until I look good. That's the joke. I try to make sure that everybody looks good, but also I hope that I look good in the process. So I have posted one picture from our Capitol in the rotunda, kind of overlooking the statue, the lady that's underneath the dome. But on my way out today, I also ran into President Cullerton.
Oh,
yes. Hey, that guy. Okay. So, I know here's, okay. So I have many, there's so many dilemmas for this because one, if I post the photo, people, you know, some people will ask a lot of questions like, did you grill him on the budget? Did you demand better? Did you? And the thing was that I went up and I talked to him. We've actually met many times. I've sat down and talked to him about the programs at Beard, which is a school for autism on the northwest side of Chicago. And, he did his very best. And since our efforts, it's actually, you know, the CPS has worsened and funding for that school has been cut. They have much larger classroom sizes than they used to. They are overwhelmed over there. Declan no longer goes there because he aged out. What I was trying to do was expand the programs for kids up to at least sixth grade because they are tossed aside at third grade. But we were in this downslide back when I was talking to him. But when he was leaving the building, I stopped him and said hello, and he looked so tired. He looked like he's been in a battle for the last year, Craig. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think he has been.
I think he has been. Mm-hmm. And I asked him how he was doing, and he just kind of shook his head. But he asked me how Declan was, and I told him where Declan was going to school. And then we started talking about Beard, and he goes, I'm trying. I don't know what's going to happen. He goes, I've been trying. And I was like, okay. And I didn't know what else to say because it's a deadlock. I mean, like, he had a bizarre week last week. I'm not going to press him on, you know, what's the plan is because they've told us over and over again. And, you know, I'm more interested right now on a one-on-one basis to talk about special needs programs. And that's why we talked about Beard. So before he took off, I asked him to take a selfie. And I took two selfies, Craig. I look good in one, and he looks a little goofy. And then I look a little goofy, and he looks really good.
No, this is an easy decision.
I can't make it because the people are already going to post, you know, a lot of questions,
right?
A little bit of attacky, and then
that's a good point.
And if I post one where he's kind of like not sure where the lens is,
I mean, how goofy are we talking?
Yeah, I'm not even. But here's the thing: we look, and maybe I post both of them, but that's not helpful either. I think I'm going to throw myself on the grenade and post the one where he looks good.
That's really nice of you, Patty. I think you're taking one for the team.
Well, because people are already going to jump on the photo.
Yeah, right. Right. Right now, posting politicians, especially those guys down there, that it makes sense to do it the way you're doing it. I think.
And here's the thing: people will be like, "You don't look that bad in that picture," but you know me. I look goofy.
Man,
I look a little cross-eyed.
I might be selfish about this since it is a selfish selfie. I might still post the one.
He's, you know,
like you said, well, here's the counter argument. Like you said, they're going to be anti some stuff anyway.
Right.
So what's the big deal about also making it a goofy photo?
Giving them extra fuel. That's what it feels like.
maybe it's so goofy they'll feel bad.
No.
Maybe when they see it, they'll be like, man.
I'll post the one where he looks good, and then I'll show you the other one on Thursday. Just you, and you'll be like, yeah, that was a good choice. That was a good choice right there.
How is everything else in Springfield?
It's quiet because today was the perfunctory session. A lot of business was taken care of, but the legislators were not needed here today. I did run into Senator Cullerton, Tom Cullerton. So I ran into the Cullertons today. So John Cullerton is the president of the Senate, and Senator Tom Cullerton was also here today to get some work done. Not too many people. I believe Leader Lou Lang is also in town. Representative Martwick is rolling in. They're all kind of coming in. I did see a couple of reporters from Chicago who were doing their their live reports from the rotunda as well about the governor's speech tomorrow, which is the State of the State address. I did wonder on Facebook if what that speech is going to entail, and I'm not sure what he's going to report. And I did muse, perhaps he will say, at least we didn't make you drink contaminated water. And that ruffled a few feathers, but I didn't say he made a strain. I'm saying
right.
Collectively the government of Illinois has not done that. That's really all they've accomplished.
You were looking for a bright side today. That's all it was.
It is the bright side.
Silver lining.
Silver lining. But is Rob there by any chance?
I don't know if he's wandered off. I don't know.
I am here.
Hi, Mr. Martyr.
Hi.
I have a question because you do have you're very good at asking the tougher questions of some of our legislators when we have them on the air.
You have some pretty tough ones as well.
You get to the nuts and bolts of things. But I do want to ask you. So we've gone back and forth about the reform agenda, right? So we're going to talk to Representative Kifwit after 11:30. But my question is: so do you agree that this is a way to get the things like pension reform and workman's comp accomplished is by saying do this and then we'll talk about the budget? Does that make sense anymore?
You know what? This whole kind of little journey we've been on since the budget should have been passed last summer has been quite unique, mm-hmm. I think. And quite frankly, everybody just has to take a great big deep breath. And they need to get in there.
But do you mean get in there about the budget or about, because the pension reform is separate? Like that could be presented as a bill.
I think you know, and you know where I stand. I Governor Rauner has said, look, guys, I will give you your tax increase if you go ahead and take a look at my agenda, which they have not done, because at the top of that agenda is pension reform.
Right.
If I were advising Governor Rauner, what I would do for this go around, I'd say, all right, look. Let's take it off the table. Let's get to some other things. Let's get to some of these so-called pro-business points that I would like to bring up, some of these pro-business things that I would like to attack.
Right.
And we'll bring pension reform back. If it's going to cost him another year, it's really not going to be that big of a deal. We're already so much in the hole right now. I would take it off the table.
Right. But do you think perhaps he's dug in so much because last week that press conference where he came out and said that he and President Cullerton had come to an agreement, and then moments later, President Cullerton's office announced that was not quite the case.
Right.
I'm not sure what the move, what the intention was perhaps a week away from the State of the State address was to demonstrate that there was progress with, that he was willing to meet with somebody and talk about it. But I don't know if after this much time, it doesn't seem like he's willing to, unless that's the big announcement tomorrow in the State of the State address, is, he'll take a step back from the agenda, because the tax increase is directly and immediately affects the budget, whereas pension reform and workman's comp, which was actually passed also a few years ago, whether or not it's taking effect to the extent to which people would like it to, is all not tied directly to this budget.
This is World War I style negotiations. I think
both sides
have dug in. Both sides are entrenched. They're in their foxholes. They're in their trenches. One will stick their head up. The other one will take a shot. The other one will stick their head up. The other side will take a shot.
Right.
And so much of the time, you hear Democrats and Republicans, but a lot of the Democrats that have been on your show, all very smart men, all trying to, do what's right by their constituency, but they talk about values. I hear values brought up an awful lot. We have values, so that way we can't go after pension reform. Unions. We value our unions. These are our core values. They say.
Right. They do say that.
Well,
yes.
Look. On the other side, Republicans. They have core values as well.
So
whose values trump the others? And that's. I think that's where we are right now. And again, advising Governor Rauner, I'd say let pension reform go for right now. It's a long-term thing that needs to be worked on, and certainly you can get after it, once you get a budget passed. But for right now, you've got to let it go.
Yeah, I would hope, but I don't see. For some reason, I'm cynical about that possibility. I've heard people say that it's possible we'll have no budget for the remainder of Governor Rauner's term, which is daunting.
Well, what's unfortunate is that you talk, so passionately about your situation and so many other people's situations where they have children that need help, mm-hmm. that without a state budget, that funding is not coming.
No.
And, but the vast majority of us, let's be honest, I'm not feeling the pinch.
Right.
So
if anything, gas prices are down. We are feeling a little bit lighter.
Yeah. So does that, it does not affect me directly. So I don't think of it on a day-to-day basis. That's just my reality. But when I do think about those who aren't getting the help that they need, that's when I start to think these guys really need to get their act together.
Well, that's why the announcement by the Lutheran Services, Social Services of Illinois was such a big blow, because they are cutting services to almost 5,000 people, and that includes individuals with disabilities. It includes services for people who are addicted, whether it's alcohol or drugs. This is also for veterans, for senior citizens, and it's statewide. And this is an organization that provides some of the best, and they have a low overhead. They do everything to help the community. And they are $6 million behind in payment. So this is already for services rendered.
Yeah, and Patty, let's give people an idea of how big this particular social service group is. Mm-hmm. They're cutting 40% of their staff, which I think is around 700 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many people are going to be out of work and not providing these services.
Right. So it's the people that provide those services and the people who receive them. It's going to be a double blow.
Correct.
And I just found out there was a gentleman that worked with Helping Place Declan last week with the Chicago Public Schools. He has an office where they're tasked with placing about 2,000 to 3,000 students in the appropriate, and maybe more, maybe much higher than that. About 2% of the entire Chicago Public School population requires very specific placement. According to their needs, Declan, who needs an aide, Declan cannot go to the bathroom by himself. He is physically challenged. He has trouble understanding instructions. He's in a small classroom where he is now, but there was work that went into making sure he was placed in the appropriate environment. They have fired almost the entire staff that that gentleman worked with. So there's now one individual for all of Chicago Public Schools to make sure that children are placed in the appropriate from kindergarten, actually from 3 years old to 21, because special needs children can also go through the system through 21 years old.
Now, is this the guy, are these called the IEPs, the individual education plans? Is that?
Well, every child that has a delay at a certain percent, I believe it depends on the need, but he doesn't run the IEPs. He runs the placement. So the diversified student learning, I think, it's the DSSL office. And I was on the phone with him a lot, and he worked very hard. I mean, and I was angry a lot, and I know I took it out on him sometimes because I was so frustrated. And he arranged a meeting with several people in his office, and I believe they're now all gone. Because they lost their jobs due to cuts. And there now, have you heard this rumor? Because someone passed it along to me, and this is just rumor that I've heard. Someone asked me if I had heard that there is a movement to sort of sweep special needs funding into the general fund of Illinois, which sounds crazy because that means that it could be used for anything aside, for roads. I have no idea.
Yeah, that rumor I had not heard, but knowing you the way that I do, and that would be something I would not agree with.
That would be so crazy.
You can't. The minute that you do that, that money is lost forever.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, thank you, Rob. I know that. The thing is that people can have conversations when they don't agree on everything, and that's what we invite everybody to. We are going to talk to Representative Stephanie Kifowit after the news. Right now, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from Springfield, our capital, ahead of the State of the State address from Governor Rauner tomorrow. And on the line with us, we have Representative Stephanie Kifowit, who represents the 84th District. How are you doing, Representative?
Oh, good. How are you doing, Patty?
I'm good. Well, thank you for staying up. Are you in town already, or are you still home?
Oh, no, I'll go in the morning.
You're going to go in the morning? I'm here. It's so weird. It's a weird feeling in town. There's a few people have come in for the perfunctory session, getting a few things done ahead of time, but it's very quiet. What do you expect from the State of the State address tomorrow?
Well, I don't think there's much to expect. I don't think anything has happened over this past year that could be attributed to any kind of great accomplishment in the State of the State. The only budget that was signed that was passed by only Democrats was the education funding that we did increase. And I think that's the only thing I think the governor can talk about.
Yeah, because the last week alone has been some dismal news. The Lutheran Services of Illinois announced that they made some cuts. Can you explain for our listeners, that's not actually cuts that you guys have made. That's a shortfall of payments. Is that correct?
To Lutheran Services, we don't have a budget in place, so ergo, we haven't made any cuts. What we've been doing is going on autopilot, and the pilot that is steering the ship is the courts. So the courts have told us who to pay, and then everybody else is just kind of left in the wind.
Right, because I believe Catholic Charities said they might follow suit. And, you know, when there is this idea that the Democrats are digging in, the Republicans are digging in, the governor wants this reform agenda, and the Speaker of the House won't meet with him. Can you explain why he's tying the agenda to the budget? Does that make sense to you? Because I'm trying to explain it to everybody else, and I'm having trouble now explaining it.
Well, to me, it doesn't make sense to tie it to the budget. And the case in point is that I don't think just because the governor says it over 100 times that he wants these reforms, there hasn't been any kind of exchange of information, or in Springfield, there hasn't been any communication as to why I individually should look at some of these reforms. The case in point is, one of the reforms that he's arguing for is workman's compensation, 50% causation. That's what he's focusing on. However, Illinois is just like 38 other states when it comes to causation. The workers' compensation has to arise out of and are in the course of employment. So 38 other states and Illinois are doing the exact same thing. So 50% causality to me is not the true reform for workman's compensation that we should be looking at. But that's right. The only reform he's been talking about. So there's no, when I do my independent research, to me, there's just not enough evidence out there to support his claims that this is the direction we should be going in.
Well, and the fact that it would be the direction we would go in order to come to a budget solution, it doesn't affect the budget. I mean, you know, we were talking before the break, you know, things like whether there are cuts or if there are tax increases, those seem to be budget related. But in your two terms, and I'm guessing those were during Governor Quinn's administration, had he ever had something that he demanded, or any other governor that you've been aware of? I can't remember a time when a governor said, do this or we don't get a budget. It seems like holding the state hostage.
No, it's never been contingent on withholding. I mean, even going back to Blagojevich, they've never withheld negotiating the budget or vetoed the whole budget or not even worked with all the other states that have budget issues past one month extensions, and they work together while not causing harm and just misery on people. And well, that is what I think is terrible, because we tried over the summer to pass one-month budgets and stopgap budgets and to try to keep people from being hurt and miserable, and they've just always failed because there's no support from the other side of the aisle.
Well, what would you say to people who, you know, demand that we have, you know, this kind of a hostage situation because otherwise pension reform doesn't happen? I've heard Senator Murphy say that, you know, we spend 25% of our budget goes to the pension. So I think for a lot of people, it seems we tie it to the budget because we rely so heavily on our budget to pay pensions. What would you say?
Correct.
To people?
Mm-hmm. But that's not a solution today. That's a solution that can be worked out. If we pass a pension bill today, uh-huh, regardless of what it is, let's say we think it's the most wonderful pension bill in the world, it's going to get caught up in court, and it will take 2 to 3 years through the court system to decide whether it is the best plan or if it gets thrown out just like the other pension plan did.
Right, which was...
So to say that it's tied to the budget today is a misnomer, and to say that workman's compensation is tied to the budget, if we make the workman's compensation so tight that we, the state, don't pay workmen's compensation, those people are going to go on welfare, and we, the state, will pay welfare. So we, the state, will pay one way or another if we disenfranchise working individuals. So we have to make sure that the policy is fair and equitable and the right policy, not just a policy that got pulled out of the air and has no supporting documentation behind it.
Well, did he last year introduce any bills, or did the Republicans introduce any bills toward this agenda just flat out?
They introduced a bill, but they filed bills, but nobody talked to me about them. Nobody sat down with me to go over why their bill is the right bill, provide evidence to the fact. So to file a bill is to file a bill, but to actually work a bill, to actually talk to people, it took me, my first bill was a bill for ticket brokers. I call it the ticket broker bill. It was for theaters so that when you check out online, you know that you're not buying the tickets from a theater. You're buying it from a ticket broker.
Right.
Two lines of two sentences. That's it. Two sentences just added this little disclosure. It took me a year and a half to pass a bill like that, to talk to the people who were opposing it, to talk to all the different. I didn't realize there were so many people connected to two lines, two sentences.
Wow.
So it took me a year and a half. So I think it's unrealistic for huge major changes to happen just because a bill's filed or just because somebody says it. It needs to be vetted and needs to be good policy. I mean, another example where we should be focusing on things that will help us. One of the things, and the General Assembly passed a resolution in May. Congressman Bill Foster passed the resolution in the House to talk about the situation where the state of Illinois is in, where we don't get the funding that our neighbors get. So all the time we hear about Indiana, Wisconsin, right? Indiana, Wisconsin is
right. Better for business.
Better for business, better for everything. But here is what is interesting with Indiana, Wisconsin. The state of Illinois has not had its federal Medicaid matching rate adjusted since 1965. We get reimbursed for every dollar we pay in Medicaid, we get reimbursed 50 cents. 50 cents on the dollar. Sounds good. And so you look at our neighbor, which is Wisconsin, they get reimbursed 60%. 60
really?
Cents on a dollar. Indiana gets reimbursed 67 cents on a dollar. So we're talking a difference. 60%, 60 cents on a dollar would give the state $700 million more to recalculate to a rate that is equitable and fair to our neighbors. 67%, let's say we want to be like our neighbor that gets 67% reimbursement rate, which we should, Indiana, that's $1.19 billion right there.
What holds up increasing the rate of reimbursement?
Well, obviously, past administrations have not done it. And this is where I think the governor should be focusing his energy on, is getting these types of programs. It's the same thing with reimbursement for our roads and infrastructure. It's the same thing. Our formulas that come to the state of Illinois are outdated, severely outdated from the federal government. And I know Congressman Bill Foster has championed this, and the governor should be championing this. And this is where we need to look at where the revenue comes from. It is so childish to sit there and say, Democrats want to raise taxes. Not true. Not true at all. What we want to do is find places like this, $1.19 billion, because our reimbursement rate has not been updated since 1965. This is where the revenue can come from. This is where solutions can come from. And this is what the governor and the leaders should be focusing on instead of just talking that, you know, the only solution is raising taxes, which I fundamentally disagree with.
And you mentioned, I read that you had mentioned in November that the governor and the four leaders did meet to make plans for the 911 centers, motor fuel tax funds, lottery. I'm reading your Facebook page. So they did get together in November. And then was that the last time that there was a conversation about things that affected the state?
It does appear that way. And I think that's very sad. But this is what happens. And this is what needs to happen. The governor and the four leaders actually sat in a room and they just talked numbers. They didn't talk about workman's comp. They didn't talk about pensions. They talked about budgetary numbers that affected things today. And guess what happened? Results happened. If all these other things we can address, we can work on, we can do committees on them, we can work on them. And I'll be happy to work on them. I've done a lot of research on workman's comp. I've done a lot of research with regards to all sorts of other ideas. But when we all come together and talk about just the numbers, the budget, the numbers, and how can we get things done, believe it or not, things get done. Talking to the media doesn't do it. You know, not showing up to meetings doesn't do it. We need to get them in the room to start talking to get things done.
Well, a lot of people would also say that the Democrats, and this is something an individual posted on my Facebook page, that the Democrats dominate the legislature, the General Assembly. And I've been there for votes, including the tax on millionaires keeping the tax, the 5% tax, both of which were voted down. And that was before the supermajority was needed. And you had three or four Democrats that did not vote lockstep. So what do you say to people who say that the Democrats run things? Nothing's going to get done anyway.
I think it's a cop out.
I think so too.
It's just a cop out. It's just pointing the finger. The point in fact is that my name is on bipartisan bills. I support some Republican bills, some Republican budget bills, two-year budgeting. It came from a Republican. I'm all for it. We need to start doing a pro forma. I think it's a cop-out to sit there and say, well, we can't get anything done. It's all their fault. You know what? Step up. Get the job done. I was in the Marine Corps, and you know what? There ain't no crying in the Marine Corps. There should be no crying from the other side either. Get the job done. Get people into the room. Get the job done. Point blank.
I think there's so many people that agree with you on both sides of the aisle. And before we let you go, I do have to tell you this, and Craig will laugh. I'm actually going to Camp Pendleton, where they're sending some educators and media types to spend a week with the Marines in San Diego. So I might have to get some pointers from you before I go. I think they're going to let me go on the firing range. I'm not sure if I should have a gun, Representative.
Oh, it's very, very controlled. Don't worry. They will keep you in line. I was stationed up at the School of Infantry. So if you go in the northern part of Camp Pendleton, that's where I was stationed up. And then just before you go, I want to give a shout out because we are CrossFit buddies. I do CrossFit out here, you do CrossFit there, and you have a phenomenal stance, man. You just rock it on the CrossFit world.
Can some of the rest of us weigh in on whether or not Patty should be handed a gun at any moment? I feel like maybe that's a no. Sounds scary.
Hey, Craig, I've shot a Glock before. I did the FBI Citizens Academy.
Right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I had a Tommy gun and an automatic rifle.
I prefer the 9mm, but, you know, in the military, we shot the 5.56mm A16A2. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
We need some photos. You and I on the firing range. We'll do CrossFit together because you have a good form and you lift more than I do. I'm just a baby CrossFitter. We should do a CrossFit cross exchange or something. That would be fun.
It'll be a little fun. I love it. It's a good thing. It's a good time. Got to get people in shape. You know, kind of run away from father time and, you know, just keep working it out. So
exactly.
Awesome job on the CrossFit.
Oh, but, you too.
Just wrap up. You know, there are other solutions out there and I am ready and willing and working to, you know, come up with great ideas. It's just we got to get true leadership and get, you know, people talking in the right direction.
And do me one favor. Can you tell some of the Republicans they can do my show? They don't like staying up, Representative. They tell me it's too late.
I'm a little bit of a night owl, so I stay up late all the time. So
well,
it's all good.
We'll have to find some kindred spirits on the other side of the aisle who will stay up with us. We've had a few, but I want to make sure that everyone joins the conversation, and I appreciate your time. I will see you in the morning.
Oh, sounds great. Well, you take care and have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks. Safe travels. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. I just got a text from Representative Kifowit thanking us for having her on the show, and she wanted to make sure we knew that her rifle was a M16A2 was her rifle.
Oh, right, of course,
just so you know, not A2. That she's yeah, A2. I'm gonna get my FOID card. I'm gonna go
That's
get.
That's amazing.
I had somebody text me and suggest that I carry. I should go. Somebody texted me and said, make sure you have a CC. License, which is carry conceal, and I'm like, I don't think I need to go that far.
Yeah, that sounds really intense.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary. I would like to be trained in. I've done it before, and I would like to get my license, the FOID, which is the fire. I'm sure someone can text us what that stands for.
I've never fired a gun one time.
We should go to the range.
I want to try it. I feel like there's a surge that you probably get, some sort of endorphin thing when you first fire a gun.
Especially when you hit something.
I'm not trying to get that far ahead of myself, Patty. I don't want to hit stuff.
Just the target, that's all.
Right.
Just the kind of thing.
It was some trap shooting.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a great way to start.
You just want to stand out in the field and go, pull!
That's it, man.
Have you gone?
Oh, yeah.
Shooting, really?
It's a lot of fun.
You hit stuff?
You hit the clay pigeon?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that the first time around.
It's
tough. Do you ride out to the field on a horse with the hounds chasing you?
That would be so awesome, Rob. I see Rob on a horse.
With a little tweed hat.
Yeah.
And his little boots, got knee-high boots and some nice...
Patty, you're turning this into a whole thing, yeah.
You know, it's a Downton Abbey situation. I'm not sure why I'm imagining Rob out there on the field. Esmeralda, have you ever fired a firearm?
Just a BB gun.
Ooh. In what situation did you find yourself weaponed with a BB gun?
It was at a friend's house for their engagement party. She lives on a big, or her family lives on a, like a, they have a barn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of property. And they had cans or something set up, I think it was. And they gave me a BB gun. I shot, I hit nothing. I was like, all right then.
They gave you weapons at a party to celebrate their marriage?
Well, they had one there and they started shooting it. And I was like, hey, why not?
Yeah, I've done that before. Does that count, Patty, if we fired a BB gun?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
It's a starter.
You know, Adam says no.
No, yeah. Big no from Adam. I'm guessing Adam has his Foyd.
Yes. I think he's carrying right now. Oh, we can take a break, by the way, Patty.
Well, just because he's carrying doesn't mean we should take a break. All right, fine, we'll take a break. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live from Springfield, from the Showcase Studios South. And I'm here ahead of the State of the State address from Governor Rauner. I was listening to some of the Blackhawks game while I was getting ready for the show earlier. And we have on the line with us Sam Paniatovich to tell us a little bit about why about Coach Q sounds a little down in his post-game interview.
Well, he should be down, Patty, and it's good to talk to you always. You know, by the way, before we talk about the Hawks, if it weren't for Springfield, Illinois, I wouldn't be here. You know that story, right?
I don't. Have you told me this story, and I've mentally blocked your parents somehow consummating your creation?
I wasn't going to go that far, but no, my mom grew up there, went to Springfield High School, and my dad was a state rep.
Oh!
Yeah, three terms, and he actually used to own a tavern, which was a Peyton Manning vortex throw right away from the Capitol. It was on College and Madison. It was called Play It Again, Sam's.
Oh, look at that. Was Sam a family name?
As far as I know, yes.
Well, I mean, were there other, was your dad's name Sam, or was the bar named after you? I'm trying to find it.
Great-grandfather, father, and now me.
Okay, so I'm saying. So you're the third?
No, we skip generations, and there's no middle name somewhere along the road. So no junior, no third, no fourth, none of that.
You sound relieved by that, like you evaded something.
Yeah, you don't want to be a junior. I don't know. But by the way, I know yes. We have to talk sports, but have you been to Maderet yet down in Springfield?
I have not been to – what's Maderet?
You have to go there. They do the famous horseshoe with the ground beef and the fries and the cheese, and it's awesome.
I have had a horseshoe once. I actually was looking at some carryout menus for you know what I ordered? Okay, we are on a tangent, and I don't mind because we got plenty to talk about. But I haven't done this in a long time. It makes me feel like a college kid again. I ordered Jimmy John's, and because when I got off the train here, there was a guy on a bike, you know, riding by to the Jimmy John's, you know, box on his bicycle, and it made me hungry. I felt like Pavlov's dog. I see a guy with Jimmy John's, like I must have that. You know their commercial where they say it's ridiculously fast? It was crazy fast. It
you
was
hang up the phone, you hang up, and then they're there. It's weird.
And they were at my hotel room door. It was so fast. I was eating, and here's the problem though: when you get something that fast, you almost eat it as fast. And now I'm having a little trouble. Okay, that might have been too much information. But so, have you spent time in Springfield? Do you have family down here?
Grandparents were from there. They're passed. We used to go to the state fair every year, probably from when I was about 4 years old up until, I don't know, 16 or 17 every summer. And we come and see grandma and grandpa. But no, I mean, mom pretty much grew up there, so that's a special place. And it's interesting because when Craig was like, she's in Springfield, I said, no problem, because I'll hit her with some knowledge about Springfield.
I appreciate it. Yeah. By the way, so the horseshoe thing, I don't, there's, you know, different places lay claim to that. I'm not sure. It's almost one of those things like, what do we have? We got toast. We got some pork. We got fries. We got either cheese or gravy. Just slap it all on there. But I'm guessing that was a staple at the state fair too when you were a kid.
Yeah. Well, it's called Maderet. It's literally like a 3 second walk from the Capitol. Uh-huh. You can't miss it. And they do the open face burger buns with the ground beef. The hot French fries and the nacho cheese. Not that I memorized it, but...
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. No, I'm a big fan of Moxo's Cafe and also Alexander's. It's pretty good. So I will have to look, I'll have to look for Make It Right.
Made Right. MAID-RITE. Made
okay.
Right.
Made Right. I will look for that indeed. What was your favorite thing when you were a kid at the state fair? Was it the butter, like the butter sculptures?
Probably the blooming onion or the fried Pepsi.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, you get the blooming onion. You know what a blooming onion is.
That I know, but did you say fried Pepsi?
Fried Pepsi.
What? Okay, I think I've heard this before and decided to ignore it. So is it still Pepsi in the middle, or is it just a big ball of fried sugar?
Yeah, it's pretty much like a big fried, looks like a donut, only there's Pepsi inside. But they don't, like, throw the can in the fryer.
That seems dangerous and, yeah, not very tasty.
Yeah, though they just roll it up and then put a little powdered sugar on it, throw it in the fryer, and bam, you're done.
Okay, sure, that makes total sense. Anything that goes in the fryer has got to be fun. All right, what happened with the Blackhawks tonight? 5-0 they lost?
Yeah, 5-0 at Carolina, last game of the first half. And Coach Q, you kind of read between the tea leaves in a game like this, and he just talked about that they weren't ready. He knew it was going to be trouble right away. Carolina came to play, and they didn't, and it was really ugly. And a lot of these Hawk players, we know the routine. They played so much hockey over the last handful of years. Jonathan Toews is a little bit sick. Anisimov has been dealing with some sickness. You got some players who are a little bruised up, and they just probably looked ahead a little too much. Now, they would never admit that. But, I mean, big picture, Patty, you go back to Christmas, turn the calendar back 1 month, the Blackhawks are in third in the West, and they're behind Dallas by 10 points. Here we are a month later. They are first in the Western Conference. They have a 3-point lead on Dallas, a 3-point lead on St. Louis. I'm sorry, a 6-point lead on St. Louis, wow. 7 points up on the Kings. So, you know, we can look at this 5-0 loss and try and pick it apart. But at the end of the day, this is still the best team in the Western Conference with championship pedigree. And if they lose one game going into the break, it's not really a red flag.
Right, but it's not a great feeling to like go now have 10 days off when you have a, you know, this the bad taste of a 5-0 loss on your, you know, just saying. But so they got 10 days off for the All-Star break. Who's playing in the All-Stars?
You got Kane and Toews. That's pretty much it for the Hawks. They snubbed Corey Crawford, even though he has a league-high 7 shutouts. I don't even have an answer for that. They wanted to keep Pekka, who's the Predators goalie. They wanted to keep him home because the game is in Nashville, so they wanted to have some local flavor. But, I mean, the Hawks could easily have 3 or 4 or 5 guys in the game, but it's only a couple.
Is that not so bad, though? Getting the extra rest is kind of nice, right?
I would think.
Yeah, they'll take it. These guys will take it. I know that, you know, Crawford was asked about that, and he said, well, I'll enjoy laying on the couch.
right.
And to this point, you know, Crawford's been playing the majority of the games. You know, the career high, I think, as far as games played for him has been 59. He's never crossed through 60. And this year he's on pace to play 60 or more games. So, you know, what's more important, traveling, sleeping in a hotel bed for a couple more days and playing in an All-Star game for a period or two, or, like Patty said, getting all those days off? I think Corey Crawford will gladly have those days off and be fresh coming back into the second half.
Now, when it comes to All-Star games, do you watch a lot of – I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched an – I used to watch the baseball All-Star games, but that was about it. I've never – you know, we've got the hockey one. Are you going to watch this one? Do you have to?
I'll watch the skills challenge. They have a lot of really cool stuff, like, you know, like the stick handling challenges and, like, the, you know, beat the goaltender down on the shootout rush. And they've got, like, the trick shots and all that kind of stuff. I'll watch that. But they just changed the game again. It's going to be 3-on-3 this year, which I don't know. It seems to be a little bit of a novelty. I won't watch it. Baseball All-Star game I watch. Basketball I watch the dunk contest. The Pro Bowl and football I haven't watched in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because nobody tries, nobody cares. You know, it's supposed to be fun. And but I think a lot of times, rather than watch the game, you watch the festivities leading up to the game because oftentimes they're more exciting.
Right. It seems to be more a celebration of the sport than actually like showcasing or getting in there and playing a game to show who's really the best in the leagues.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, but, I mean, if the East or West wins in hockey, you know, in years past, it doesn't matter. In basketball, nobody plays defense, and the final score is like 170 to 165.
Right.
The Pro Bowl, nobody wants to go.
Right. But you know, baseball... baseball,
and then baseball, you have to win to get, you know, home field. But even then, I mean, there's only one or two teams that are really going to go every year.
Right. Well, and that one bothers me. That's just stupid, you know, since it is kind of a throwaway thing. It seems silly to tie it into, you know, that sort of end of the season run.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the first game that actually counted was in 2003 in Chicago because mm-hmm. they had that tie in 2002 in Milwaukee where both teams ran out of players. And they're in, like, the 14th inning, and they're like, we don't know what to do. So they called the game in Milwaukee, and from that point forward, we've had you have to win the game, you have to bring the proper amount of people, and then the winning league has home field.
Right. Well, speaking of baseball, I heard that they're thinking of bringing the designated hitter to the National League. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you're a Cub fan, that's huge news. because this gives Kyle Schwarber a permanent position. this is a guy, you know, you worry about power hitters, and he came up as a catcher, and they've tried to move him to the outfield, and there have been mixed results. You know, he's not the quickest guy in the world, and I think he's still learning the position. But Theo Epstein, Patty, has been drafting nothing but really good hitters in the last four or five drafts at the top. And there's sort of a logjam now. Well, where do you put this guy and where do you put that guy? If you have a DH, you could put Kyle Schwarber at the designated hitter spot, save those knees. He doesn't have to run in the outfield into that brick wall. And then a lot of these other guys like Javi Baez and Jorge Soler, right now they're sort of on the outside looking in. They don't really have a regular position. But if that DH comes to the NL, all of a sudden, ta-da, you have an extra spot for a really good hitter. And, you know, it'll make baseball better. The good players will play longer, they'll be healthier, and they'll hit more home runs. And at the end of the day, you either want to see home runs or you want to see strikeouts when you go to a game. At least that's how I feel.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I like to see some good ball play, but that's me. I love a good fly ball gets snagged at the last second. That's just me. That's dramatic.
Okay.
All right. I stop short of a guy slamming into the wall and trying to reach over into the stands. That makes me nervous. Who did that this year? Someone stepped over like the rolled tarp onto the edge of the seats and into the seats. And
Rizzo was standing on top of the tarp over by first base at Wrigley.
Yeah, that was cool because he didn't get hurt, but I was getting nervous. I'm such a mom. I'm like, don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, it's a great catch until the cleat slips on the tarpaulin and you're face diving into a seat on the first row.
Yeah, how important was it to catch that foul ball, right? So the ball's not even in play. Sam, can you hold on a minute? We want to talk about the Super Bowl when we come back. Sound good?
Sure, you got it.
All right, more with WGN Sam Paniatovich after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Thank you for finding us Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield, Illinois. I'm here in the Capitol ahead of the governor's State of the State address. And we're talking about sports right now with WGN's Sam Paniatovich. Are you making big plans for the Super Bowl game on Sunday, Sam?
I don't know yet. I actually don't have to work. No Bulls, no Blackhawks, no Bears, obviously. Although it was 30 years ago today, they won a Super Bowl. That's what I've been told.
It's not this Sunday. It's 2 weeks before the week and a half before the game.
Yeah, it's next Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
go
is
ahead.
It next Sunday? Oh, well, there was this big anniversary party today at Soldier Field. Everybody who is still around and still ticking, I guess, was there. A lot of good former players. But I guess to answer your question, no plans yet. Although I should probably get on that.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
This Sunday is Sam's favorite event, the Pro Bowl.
That he hasn't watched in 10 years. Now I almost feel like making it your assignment.
I mean, for you, I'd watch it. I'd watch highlights.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea. You know what they should do? The Pro Bowl should have all the commercials that didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, right? The Pro Bowl used to be played, I think, weeks after the Super Bowl, and then they moved it now inside that little shell because conference championships – and Super Bowl has a little weekend between the two, so I think that's why they did that, to try and, you know, keep the buzz alive. Because after the Super Bowl, there should be no more football. That should be it.
That should be it. Do the two teams in the Super Bowl send all-stars to the Pro Bowl? Because that would seem counterintuitive.
No, if you make the Super Bowl, you do not have to report to the Pro Bowl, which is probably a blessing in disguise for some of those guys.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have any favorites? Who are you rooting for the Super Bowl?
I don't know if I'm rooting for anybody, but I think the storyline for Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers quarterback, is spectacular. He won a junior college national championship. He won a national championship at Auburn. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. He was the number one overall pick. He was the NFL MVP. Well, at least he will be this year. And he could possibly win a Super Bowl championship. No player has ever done all those things. And Cam Newton is in pursuit right now. His Panthers are favored by almost 5 points against Denver. And it's interesting, Peyton Manning, every time you hear about Peyton Manning now, the Broncos quarterback, his age is attached to his name now. You know, it's not just Peyton Manning, it's 39-year-old Peyton Manning. In fact, this is the largest discrepancy in age between starting quarterbacks. You have Peyton Manning at 39 and Cam Newton to 26. So we get to hear about that for another 10 days.
Oh, God, and I'm sure they've...
How could the storyline not also be the fact that Peyton Manning may be retiring at the end of this season, so he has one game left, and the Broncos would be able to retire two legendary quarterbacks on potential Super Bowl wins.
Yeah, and the other guy, John Elway, is now in charge in Denver. No, that's certainly one of the storylines. Like I said, though, we're still looking at, you know, Wednesday, a week ahead of the Super Bowl. I mean, media week is next week, so all that stuff is going to, you know, percolate over the coming days and things like that. But you got two really good defenses. Carolina has a legit offense, and Peyton Manning can't throw the ball 20 yards. So, you know, it should be awesome.
maybe just this one time, Sam, that arm's going to snap back for just one game.
He's got one job. He can't turn it over. Don't make mistakes. Don't throw interceptions. Don't fumble the football. And, you know, let that running game try and keep Carolina off to the side. I know everybody's going to pick Carolina. You know, this morning, I think Dan Hampton, Adam Hogue, they both picked Carolina. I think Dave Ennett picked Carolina, so I'll probably pick Denver just to be contrarian.
Me too.
Like
I was
going
to say, I picked Denver.
You know how much you like For Love of the Game, that movie? You like that movie, right?
For the Love of the Game, yes.
Yeah, so that is who Peyton Manning's going to be. He's going to be that old kind of, it's his storyline to win this Super Bowl. It'll be amazing. No one has an answer.
But,
no one has anything
to say. No, but he's won the Super Bowl how many times now
once.
For the Colts?
He's only won it once.
Just the once?
Just
once.
With against the Bears.
Yeah. Oh, see, but you know what it is? I just really like his insurance commercials.
Sam is a no-go.
Which commercials? You got the Nationwide ones, you got Papa John's.
Nationwide,
you got,
the one where he's singing to himself, Nation.
Which was then turned into an HGH, You Taste So Good. They were talking about that a couple of weeks ago after the Al Jazeera report.
Oh, dear. No. Yeah, I'm rooting for the Broncos because I have a friend who really is a big fan, and I want her to be happy. That's all. That's the only skin I got in the game.
Honestly, though, like every time that, you know, 8 out of 10 people pick one side, usually it's a lot closer than people think. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you leave that game wherever you watched it thinking, how did that happen? But I promise you, when you're back in Chicago next week, go find 10 people, ask them who's going to win. And I guarantee you 8 or 9 say Carolina.
Really?
Oh yeah, not even close.
All right. I feel like we should start having some sort of a pool for this. Can we gamble? Are we allowed to gamble
well,
on
what
our
about
show?
Prop betting? Sam, do you have any favorite prop bets that you're looking forward to?
Gatorade is definitely going to be yellow. we should do something next week. I'll get a list together. I wasn't prepared. There's over like 70 different prop wagers, including how long will the national anthem be?
What
color will Beyonce's top be? What is the first song Beyonce sings?
Beyonce singing again? No, wait, Beyonce's doing it again? Didn't she just do it a couple years ago?
Well, they had to bring her back for the 50th.
That makes complete sense. I could see why they would do that. Did anyone win a bet that there would be a happy shark? What did they call him? The goof?
Left shark.
The left shark. No one won that bet. No one saw that coming.
I don't think that was offered.
Now it will
but,
be.
But no, I mean, you can, if I were you, Patty, I would be willing to go around the office and just be bold and just tell people Denver's going to win, because if it does happen, you look like a genius. Right. And if it doesn't happen, well, everybody else already picked Carolina, so you got nothing to lose.
I have to come up with better reasons of why I want to sound articulate about it, as I'm not right now, about why Broncos going to win.
Okay. Denver has the best defense in the National Football League.
Okay, good. And the Panthers are only legit.
The Panthers are like top five. But and if there's one defense that can get to Carolina and throw Cam Newton off its game, it's the one the Denver Broncos have.
All right. I like the sound of that. So 39-year-old Peyton Manning against the other guy who's 26.
Grizzled 39-year-old
Cam Grizzled. Cam Newton, who will be the MVP. You should probably know that name.
What is Cam short for? I'm just curious now about little things.
Cameron.
Ah, see, that makes sense. It's a CAM name. All right. I'm trying to picture the whole thing. I've watched very few football games this season. The Bears were just so dismal. I couldn't hang anymore.
Well, he's going to be hard to miss. He's 6'5", 250 pounds.
Hello.
And he wears number one, and he's the big black guy behind the ball. So it's going to be hard to miss Cam Newton. I promise you.
I do like the idea of Peyton Manning like telling himself not to throw the ball away. Like I wish we could have a microphone in the helmet. Don't mess this up.
Yeah. Or he does that thing last year where he was saying Omaha. Like there was a bet. How many times did Peyton Manning say Omaha? Because when he's lining up, he's like Omaha, Omaha, hold on, Omaha, and he said it like 70 times one game. It was ridiculous. So he's always been one of those guys at the line of scrimmage that like. tries to move his hands and call audibles. So he's fun to watch pre-snap, no doubt.
All right, I will keep my eyes open. Now, are they doing? They're bringing the NFL draft back to Chicago this spring too. Is that right?
They are. Yep. So be prepared not to be able to drive anywhere on the South Loop on a Friday at 4 o'clock.
Well, it's just it seemed to have done well last year. People kind of liked it. It's, you know, a fun little event for Chicago to have.
Made a lot of money.
Nothing wrong with that. We could use some of that. You know, between that and the red light cameras, we should be able to solve all of our problems.
You got it. Enjoy Made Right, will you?
I will. I will try to get there. But you should come down sometime and, you know, just so your old, you know, where your family used to hang, where your family used to live. Why not?
All right. Well, let me know when you're going and we'll figure something out.
We can Amtrak. All right. How we follow you on Twitter, my friend?
SP Shoot. Very simple. SP Shoot.
SP Shoot. Follow Sam on SP Shoot. And do you have any shows coming up?
I'm filling in. I'm doing the Rokan Show PM Drive February 1st to the 5th.
Oh, excellent. All right. So tune in for those.
We'll see.
Yeah, catch Sam's reports from February 1st to the 5th on Rokan's show, and catch him here again next week. Thanks, Sam. Have a great night.
You too, Patty.
Thank you. It's time now for our 12:30 news. Am I early for the news? Does this ever happen? Can we mark this, Craig?
Yeah, I'm marking this right now, Patty. This is the first.
Yeah.
Although, if we stall by marking it, there's going to be a point where we're no longer on time.
Trumpets?
Oh, wait.
Do you need trumpets?
Do we need trumpets? Yeah. Last night, I think we marked a certain word.
There was some word that Will used, and now we're not on time anymore.
No, all right. That's oddly appropriate, only because it shouldn't. What we're going to talk about is not what you should get when you engage or want to engage in sexual activity, Craig. I feel like I have to preface both of these both of these stories end tragically,
yep.
But begin with the desire of the body. I guess is the best way to put it. I don't know. I think the adult warning. I don't know if the adult warning is necessary. Perhaps. Who knows what we're going to say? So you can go ahead and just fire that one off as well if you want to. That sounded wrong. There you go. Thank you.
Warning.
I was going to say you should just feel your way through.
We are entering adult topics here.
I can't put my finger on it. I think she did.
Oh, nice. Is that? Oh, I.
Yeah, that's Sandy.
Feel your way.
That's Grease.
Well, yeah, but I didn't think she had her, you know, the trademark on that.
It seems like a sentence that works. That's
okay, yeah,
no,
that's
that
fine. Fine, fine.
It
Let's
all
go.
Works. Go well, Esmeralda, you know one of our wonderful bosses. Do I say which boss sent this to me? I think it's more fun if it's a mystery.
Yeah, let's make it a mystery.
A boss of ours at WGN sent this story as an idea for us to cover on the show.
Yeah, we'll secretly guess.
Yeah, you can secretly guess. And so the email to me, and the topic line, it said nunchuck sex. So I wasn't entirely sure because I couldn't hear on the phone when we were talking, Craig, with our boss, what was said. And I was in a coffee shop trying to keep up with the conversation. So I just heard something nunchuck sex. And I was like, sure, send that along to me.
Please.
And so when I saw the topic line, I wasn't sure what to expect when I opened it. And so here is the story. A woman in South Carolina hurled figurines at her husband and hit him with nunchucks after he refused, I tell you, to have sex with her. This is what the police have revealed in the report. Sandra Earl Kelly faces aggravated domestic violence charges. The fight took place the night of January 17th. And investigators say her husband was watching TV in the living room when she asked him to go to bed with her. When he refused, she kept assaulting him with whatever she could pick up. But, I mean, like, first of all, do you put the figurines next to the nunchucks? I'm not sure how that's a handy.
No, that's good. Let's get the logistics down here.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, first of all, what they've got on hand.
Yeah, maybe she had them in, like, you know, just as a prop.
Right. Were they showing
off her nunchucks?
Right. Was that part of, like, did she try demonstrating first, like, you could do this to me, otherwise I'm going to do it to you? I'm not sure if the nunchucks were part of play, and he did apparently not want to play.
Oh, sweet God.
I don't know if that, I mean, I guess it could be.
I don't know. Mm. Yeah, so he refused to engage in carnal knowledge of her at that time. And so she, beat him with the nunchucks.
She nunchucked him.
To death.
Yeah. Oh, wait, because, no, did he die?
Wait, to death?
I don't know. Hold on. I don't think he died.
Oh, that was the next story. I apologize.
Yeah, no. Buried the lead there or something? I forget.
Yeah. Well, you know, then what's interesting about this story is that what's his side? They're not sharing the husband's side of the story at all. right? Because, and then it says that she had wounds to her abdomen, which were apparently self-inflicted. So I don't see.
Well, have you ever played with a nunchuck before? It's really difficult to not get yourself as well. Like, that's one weapon where you're really going to get everybody.
Right. This is where you try to, like, flip it under your forearms and around. And
you're always trying to be cool with the nunchuck and swing it places and,
Oh, yeah. Apparently, she swung at places.
She swung at all kinds of places.
She swung at places. She assaulted him with whatever she could pick up. She said she had no idea how her husband got hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. Just nunchucking in the house. I don't know how he got injured.
Next thing I know, he's lying there bleeding.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. She apparently had been taking the sedative Xanax. I don't know. I've been prescribed Xanax in the past. I know that's hard to believe, but I don't remember ever. I just get sleepy and I feel very I feel like I just want to lie on something soft.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend who took that at a time, and it seems like you just get tired.
Maybe that's why she hurt herself.
Oh, you're right.
Maybe she got sleepy and she just started smacking herself.
She wanted to stay awake for sex. She wanted him
to stay awake.
No, I don't know. It does seem as though, if you want it that bad to the point where you're going to get violent about it, I almost got to say, well, one, you seek help, right? Maybe there's a couples counseling in your future. But if you desperately, and who knows how often he's rejected her.
Right. That has to be something you built to.
You
can't nunchuck the first night that he says no. This has to be a building eventually going to the nunchuck level.
Yeah. And there are ways to arrive at your destination without somebody else participating.
Right. Yeah, you gotta take it into your own hands.
There it is.
Sweet guy.
Warning.
You know?
Yeah.
There's even, there are devices. Maybe you could have used a nunchuck. I'm saying, there's.
Friday nights we do a What's in the Box segment. Get ideas then.
There you go. There's lots of ideas. What's in the box? I'll send you some batteries. Don't beat your husband for the love of everything. Yeah, I would say if you're that, if your appetite is that voracious, maybe you want. Maybe it's just better that you seek something somewhere else.
Well, yeah, or maybe just find a new man.
Yeah, right? maybe this relationship is over.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I feel like when you're nunchucking the guy to get him to get in bed with you, that's a good
end. Yeah, you're not going in the right direction. Do you think they stay together?
I don't know.
After this, you never
know. I
would
not stay with a woman who nunchuck attacked me.
I wouldn't stay with a man who wouldn't be with me physically.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. So, both of those things are bad.
I would not beat him. I'm just saying, if you don't want to get with this, maybe it's time to get somewhere else.
Amen to you, sister.
But it can be an indication of everything else going wrong if you can't be intimate with your partner.
For sure.
That's kind of important.
Right, and then just in general, solving arguments with nunchucks is that's a bad indicator.
Yeah, that's definitely a reflection of a relationship that has way past its expiration date.
We figured this out. That was good.
We have.
We
have a second story. Now, this is in Time magazine. Okay, a Michigan man. Now this does end tragically. So I think that the best way to approach this is that he is a cautionary tale to so many of us in our lives. Paying attention is important. Being distracted is not healthy in some, especially with our devices on the go. A Michigan man who died in a single car crash over the weekend was watching pornography while driving. And he was not wearing pants or his seatbelt. I'm going to go ahead and say the seatbelt was a bigger situation in this case. But he was not wearing his pants when he lost control of his 96 Toyota in Detroit. How much do you need? Do you start the porn in your home and the story's going so well, you have to take it with you and continue to watch it while you're driving?
I don't know what's going to happen to it at the end of this. I gotta
see how this ends.
I want to know where he was going.
Yeah,
was he going to the store?
Right.
Going to work?
Maybe for recharging cables. I don't know what was going on.
I really don't understand why you don't pull over.
Definitely.
We can all question the fact that he was in his car in the first place and he could have been at home with a computer or other places with other situations. But if that is what you need to do, then just please pull over.
Well, maybe that was part of the excitement.
The thrill?
Maybe part of the thrill was that he was driving and doing that. I've got a question, what people are watching in their cars. Have you ever driven by? It's always the kids watching cartoon movies and stuff. But now now I have another thing to worry about is people doing that. Playing with whatever's in their box. I don't know what's going on out there on the roads.
That doesn't sound healthy at all for anyone.
No, that's and did he take his pants off like once he got in the car? He couldn't have like walked from his door to the car with no pants on.
You're right. This story raises more questions than answers at this point. Yeah. We really don't know how he got to where he was, why he needed to be there in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, the state police, Lieutenant Mike Shaw, said that this porn-induced crash was one of the most bizarre things he had ever heard of. We see people putting on makeup, doing different things as far as hygiene or reading books. It's almost to the fact that there's so much technology out there, people are paying attention to
from the 773, it sounds like he was pulling over and over and over. Thank you, 773.
I know there's so many more things to go with that. I'll let our texters go ahead and jump in on that.
312, what's in the box? No nunchucks.
No nunchucks, please.
Guess not.
No nunchucks. Yeah, that seems... can you see how I kind of accidentally combined those stories?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought that she'd beaten him to death.
Wow.
But no, this guy drove himself. Now I'm worried about people doing this. I mean, because there are people who are addicted to porn, though, so this makes complete sense.
Well, and you're right, too. There might be the thrill aspect, because you would think that most people wouldn't do this just, like, by accident. Like, oh, I have to keep watching this, and no, I just happen to be driving. He probably did it on purpose.
Yeah, I think that, and the excitement of knowing that, it's mostly truck drivers. I guess people in SUVs can see you doing that, but maybe there's an excitement.
Not.
Well, but there are people
who
leave the curtains open, sort of that, they kind of invite people or allow people to peek in. They get a thrill from that, too. I mean, it's a moving, it's so strange.
No, I'm glad we really dived into the psychology of these things. This is really...
Well, I'm concerned if there's anybody who feels that they can't control the urge to watch porn even while they're driving. We're worried about you.
We needed the more you know sound for this PSA.
The more you know.
It's been a PSA star. From pretty late,
Yeah, no, this can definitely wait.
Oh, for sure.
You know, they always say it can wait. I had to tell myself that in the car, like if I'm responding to a text or something, I put my phone in my purse and I put it away. I don't, I'm not looking at any more Facebook stuff, but how compelled are you to watch porn if it's, he had it on his steering wheel. He had the phone or whatever, the device. Yeah. And he was driving with it. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right. Watch where you're going. And
we can take a break, Patty.
Yeah, and what you're doing. More after this on Pretty Late Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield. I'm in our state's capital ahead of the State of the State address from Governor Rauner. And just want to be here and see what he has to say. Oh, by the way, Craig, I don't know if I mentioned this. I probably won't be in the gallery or in the press box.
Oh, got it.
There are assigned seats for press, which I'm part of the media, but there are, the folks that write for the Chicago Tribune, the Sun-Times, all the, the Herald, all the newspapers, and then all the news outlets, ABC, NBC, all those folks.
All those guys.
They all have seats. So they told me that I could watch it on TV in a room downstairs. I don't think I'll be, not by myself, but I asked if I'd be allowed to bring in some popcorn or something.
Yeah, you should do that. Oh, by the way, real quick text from the T19. Sorry, this has to be said. The first guy did not get beat to death, but the second guy certainly did. That's not...
That was good. That was, I knew that there was a line to draw there, and
yep.
Our listener found it.
Thank you.
Thank you, 219. See, our listeners are... This is the kind of help that I'm talking about. Contributing to the show.
Right. The more you know.
I think that 219 gets a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Okay.
Do I have one of those to give away?
You do.
All right, then.
We have other stuff to give away, too. We have fancy prizes.
Oh, do we have fancy prizes?
Yeah.
Well, the 219 gets a pizza.
Okay.
They get a nice, delicious deep dish pizza. Whatever you want to order from Lou Malnati's, you can go to loumalnati's.com, 41 locations in the Chicagoland area. And in 219, you can actually order online and have some frozen pizza delivered to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do we have, Craig? I don't have the
prize list. I got to send you one.
We'll pull it up.
We'll figure that out.
We will figure all of that out. I'm looking at this article that you sent Craig about your major and what it says about you, and it's sort of a psychological study. They wanted to see how much the kinds of traits that you might have, and I'm not quite sure if their findings really reflect the major that you're drawn to or what being in that major might have the effects it might have on you. But according to this new analysis, there are significant personality differences between students in different academic majors. Now, Craig, what did you major in college?
In communication.
Communication. And that, is that considered arts and humanities? Do you know?
No, I think it was just general studies for me.
But you have so and Esmeralda, how about yourself?
Communication with a concentration in radio, television, and film.
Oh, look at you! Oh,
I know,
being all dedicated.
I watched a lot of movies.
There you go. Do you know? There's an interesting point they bring up in this article that women tend to be drawn more to the humanities, and people in this is a very much seems to be an if-then sort of scenario, or also this kind of thing, because they found that arts and humanities are in the unenviable position of being anxious but not very organized. They were less conscientious than students in fields like science, law, or engineering, and they also tended to be more neurotic. And then later in the article, it goes on to say that more women are drawn to the humanities, which makes sense because women tend to be more neurotic. I'm not sure.
I almost studied pre-med.
Okay.
Because I was into biology, and I watched a lot of ER, and I thought, I'm going to be a doctor. And then I realized that's going to be really hard. I think I'm going to switch.
Well, and it's what you try to imagine what the rest of your life is like unfolding.
Right,
and
I knew I was like, no, that seems really difficult and too much work.
Well, when you're 18, you know, you don't realize how much you're going to change over the course of a lifetime. And if you go into an area of work where you're kind of always, you know, it's stimulating to you. You know, there's always something different happening. You know, for us, we're in radio, and it continues to change, and we adjust to that. Obviously, in science, there's always changes because of technological advances. But if you'd been a doctor, you know, there's obviously a whole different world of you know, whether you are in the lab or you're working with patients. It's hard to imagine all that when you're 18 years old, don't you think?
It's just, I think to me, it was just so much. And you have to be very, I think you do. You have to be very organized for things like that.
Yeah.
You have to have a brain to have all that in your head. I was like, no, I'm cool.
But I wonder if then sticking with it and develop, if you would develop the ability to organize though too, right? Does it strengthen that ability? Does it force you to come up with ways to get organized in your own way? Or does it draw people who are already strong at organizing?
I think it would draw, because I remember kids in my dorm who were a biology and all that kind of sciences stuff. And they would be every night, they were sitting there in the common room studying. And I'm like, I'll see you guys later.
Well, and to that, they find that arts and humanities majors are more extroverted. They're more open, and people in engineering and science tend to be more closed off, right? So whether it's because of all doing all that work or having to be so dedicated to it, does it then shut them off a little more socially too? Right?
Because that's true.
And because a lot of doctors, this is one of the things that I do. I talk to groups of doctors, healthcare providers, about how to talk to patients, because they become so skilled at the information, you know, all the stats, what the prognosis is, that they start to have trouble with how to, you know, talk to a person when they're communicating with them on possibly one of the worst days of that person's life.
Right.
Right.
That's a big thing.
It is.
Very cold and calculating.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of healthcare providers forget that, you know, or don't take into account enough that the tone that you set can also affect the way someone's ability to recover or to cope with this new set of circumstances can really have an impact, you know. So a lot of times they'll give you like the negatives, you know, you have a whatever amount of time left, or people need to feel like they're equipped with the information to move forward rather than you're screwed, is how people often, I think, leave feeling a doctor's office. So I don't know if people, I think that tends to happen over the course, because they are like, you know, they're constantly doing these really intensive skills and developing all this knowledge with us, it's kind of, people are always surprised, or, you know, they're always telling me how impressed they are about how I'm on stage. And like, I couldn't be in a lab all day long. You know, I couldn't develop the technology. Engineering. I wish there were more women in engineering. Did you have any friends, girlfriends that went into engineering, Esmeralda?
I did not.
Yeah, I only knew a couple at the University of Illinois. And there were a lot of female engineers at the U of I. I don't know when that starts as far as... Craig, did you know any women that went into engineering at Notre Dame or when you studied?
I can't think of any either, no.
Yeah, I have friends in sciences, but they're all men.
Right? And there are a lot of women in medicine. So I still don't know how, you know, that would be like engineering would be a barrier to women as far as what is, you know, sort of that the field. I do think there is something to, even in childhood, you know, boys tend to play with Legos. I don't know if they're encouraged because of the types of sets that are available to them. And then girls get like the beauty salon sets that's kind of tailored to them. I mean, there are a lot of girls that are now getting more interested in all the varieties, you know, whether it's the space sets. I'm hoping that we talked a little bit last week and last night about the Rey action figures for Star Wars, sort of these stronger figures, maybe, you know, with building blocks. Because I've never been able to put together correctly a Lego set. That was not something I grew up playing with. Did you, Esmeralda?
I never touched Legos until I think I was older.
Right.
Until I was in junior high or something like that. We never had them in the house. Not even for my brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they hurt so much when you step on them. I don't understand what they have. It's almost like an invisible blade that doesn't pierce your skin, but it has that feeling of it.
By the way, I think someone made slippers.
What, Lego?
To avoid that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I thought I saw something about that.
Oh,
so then you could, you know, if you step on them.
Walk around this, yeah.
I think they stick to the slipper.
That's the one thing Griffin, not the one thing. Griffin is, we have organizing bins. I'm not a very organized person. This goes all the way back now to the topic we're talking about, this article that certain majors have different personality traits. I am not a very well organized person. I love buying the things that would help me be organized. You know, whether it's having, you know, sort of the canisters or shelving. I try to do all that, and it just goes to hell. I can't get it done. But Griffin has always been really good about sorting. You know, he has the bins for whether it's all of his trains or all of his Legos. So we don't often have too many Legos. We have a lot of chaos in our house, but for some reason the toys seem pretty under control.
Patty, by the way, we've got a phone call from Dan. He's got some comments. He is a truck driver.
Okay. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Esmeralda. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know
Patty's
that,
here, too.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Dan.
Ironically, you know, I'd have to tell you that truck drivers drive more than the general populace by far.
Yes,
and
of course.
Ironically, I'm going into Michigan right now.
Uh-oh.
And I can only speak for myself. I don't think we masturbate more than anybody else.
You don't think that you... No, we would never accuse you of that. But...
and also note that the driver was driving a four-wheeler.
Okay. So he was higher up. So it wouldn't have been easy for the sedans. But have you ever seen... I wasn't saying that you guys do. I was imagining that you are privy to that, seeing that view of people doing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I got you there.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen some things on the road. Definitely.
Have you seen pantsless drivers watching porn while driving?
Oh, I can't tell you. I've seen that. No.
Warning.
So my guess is you have seen perhaps a driver enjoying themselves while another passenger helped them out. How's that?
How's we got?
No, I've seen women drivers without shirts.
What?
Yeah.
That's with bras or sans bra?
Unbrad.
Unbrad. That's that's entirely exhibitionist behavior.
Maybe they just want the feeling of the breeze. Just open all those windows.
Open all the windows.
I actually endorse that.
I can imagine. Maybe they want a little freedom while they're driving. Some women like the wind in their hair.
I guess so.
What would you say is the most annoying thing? Because I told this story a few weeks ago. I did have a truck driver. Honk at me. I know it was for me. It felt very intentional to me. I was on my, we were stuck in bumper to bumper traffic and I was texting and a trucker honked at me, pulled the horn. Have you done that to annoying behavior on the road?
No, I ignore it all.
Yeah. People
are wanting to go somewhere because they have plans, but we're working. So, this is our office and we try and stay away from everybody.
What are you hauling?
What am I hauling? I'm hauling brown trailers down that's about all I could probably say.
Okay, that's fine. Now, okay, this is the one last question. People often ask, why do we have overnight traffic? I'm guessing someone like you finds that valuable information to have wherever you're going, especially when you're coming through Chicago.
We drive at night. That's pretty much all I do.
Right. It's helpful, though, to have Esmeralda tell you when there's lane closures, isn't it?
Absolutely. I don't really go into the city so much. I use more of the tri-state than anything else, to be quite frankly, yeah.
Right, but I just wanted to, people often ask, why do you have late night traffic?
Yeah, it's very helpful going to work.
Yeah.
So,
I'm saying. Can you pull the horn for Esmeralda? I think she wants a horn.
I don't actually have an air horn, but I'll give you a regular horn.
That's fine. We'll take it.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. I didn't hear it, but I believe you.
The thought that counts.
Well, I honk.
It is. Well, we honk right back at you. Thank you so much, Dan. Right. Be safe out there, all right? Thanks for listening and calling
in.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Whoa, Craig, you were right, I'm guessing. This music can only mean one thing, unless you've hit the wrong button. And you meant to play a
I have hit no buttons.
Well, that's just weird. Dr. Dingman joined us on the line. Dr. Dingman, how are you doing?
Happy New Year, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. Happy New Year. Is this our first time speaking since the year began? That doesn't seem right.
2016 is going to be a fantastic year. I'm seeing big things for you personally. I'm seeing lots of good things for the city of Chicago. For America in general.
Oh, well, we like the sound of that all around. Thank you so much. And for those of you who are not familiar with Dr. Lars Dingman, he is an award-winning iTunes psychic from Prague, and he can look into your future just by knowing the last three songs that randomly played on your device. So we are taking listeners. This is your opportunity. It doesn't happen very often because I know that you're very busy, Doctor. So we're always grateful.
Busy, Patty. I'm doing a live show at the Improv on Monday. I'm going to Australia, a seminar in the second week of February, and I was just at the movie screening this evening of a very funny film called Fourth Man Out, featuring the redheaded girl from the Office television show.
Oh, I'm not. Well, that sounds wonderful, though. It sounds like you had a wonderful time.
Yes.
Jenna Fisher? Is that what we're talking about? Jenna Fisher?
Jenna Fisher?
No. Kate Mantellini, I believe the name is. No. She's a McBro. Saint Flannery is the name. Very talented actress. Hugely talented.
We'll keep our eyes and ears open for that. You said the fourth man out?
Fourth man out.
Fourth man out.
It was the Real Inn Festival in Chicago, and it's premiering next week, I believe, and then it's going to the Netflix. Do you have Netflix in Chicago?
Yes, I think that's available pretty much globally, perhaps maybe not in China and Russia, places like that.
Well,
I think it's
China and Russia.
I'm not entirely sure. But congratulations on your appearance at the Improv next weekend. You're taping in front of a live audience.
Yes, I'm doing a reality program out here in the California, which is why I've been here for a while. That's why I'm doing that.
Ah, wonderful. Well, if any of our listeners are in the California, Los Angeles area, you can go to the Improv on February 1st to see Dr. Lars Dingman's show and possibly be
You're so
in his...
good to me, Patty.
Pardon me?
You're so good to me, Patty.
Always my pleasure.
I appreciate it.
You're a delight to have on the show. And again, I want to invite our listeners, 312-981-7200, and join our conversation. And Dr. Lars Dingman will use his skills to look into your future. Craig, just let me know whenever we have a listener that wants to join us.
I will do so.
Excellent. And I know that now when you said you're traveling to Australia, I was curious, Doctor, if the travel has any effect on your site. I mean, does it, that kind of time spent just in a plane, I would think would have some fatigue. Is there anything you do when you land in order to recover a little bit and make sure that you're fresh for any readings that you have?
Yes, I'll have pancakes.
Pancakes, interesting.
Yes, yeah.
That's soothing. Is that like a comfort food for you?
Soothing, yes. I believe. I don't know. Perhaps the concentrated sugar of the maple syrup and the butter and the interplay between the pancake, the butter, and the syrup soothes me and recharges me. I don't know why.
Oh, interesting. A little bit of carbs, too. Maybe it's soothing. That sounds like a lovely way to sort of readjust when you have been flying that long. Now, do you find that that your audiences, that your subjects in Australia, are they more or less cynical than those you might find in the United States?
Apprehensive. Less cynical. Yeah. The Australians are very sweet. But they're like Canadians with a funnier accent.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big drinkers.
Oh, yeah. No, I've hung out with some Australians.
And then, Patty, we might as well mention this, or Dr. Dingman can let us know. We are getting some text messages, but he feels a certain way about those, correct?
Listen, as I've said many times on your program before, I don't get the same... I don't get as strong of a connection with people when they text as opposed to when I talk to them on the phone. It's that simple. So if you're going to go through all the trouble of wanting to know your future, get on the phone, for God's sake.
Well, yes, we don't. Well,
you know, reading, I can't vouch for the reading and the accuracy. It's easier for me on the phone.
We also don't want to intimidate the listeners who do decide to call in. So it is an enjoyable experience. I think many of our listeners who had the opportunity.
I'm a delight.
Yes,
I'm a delight.
Yes, syrup would go a long way for folks who perhaps, you know, are rubbed the wrong way sometimes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Think of me as a flapjack, Patty.
I definitely think of you as a flapjack. That's a good way to think about it. But yes, so when you are performing in the United States, when you have you're often in venues that perhaps provide alcohol. Does that ever have an effect on a reading that you have? Because then, you know, people get kind of, they might get a little silly, or are they more open in those situations?
They're more open, and I enjoy silly people. I like to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be humorous because, you know, everyone's future, it ends the same, if you know what I'm saying. So we might as well have fun while we're alive.
That's an excellent point that you make. It does end the same. I hadn't really put that together. Just now, do you...
If you look out far enough, everyone ends up in the box, except the Neptune Society people.
Yes. Well, have you seen there's this one where there's this new procedure you can have. You can be sort of wrapped in with roots, so that as a tree grows, it feeds off of your cadaver, I guess is the best way to put it. I thought that was kind of an interesting way to go. So you're kind of, yeah.
And it could be like a fruit tree or like a fig tree. I could be a fig.
You could be a fig. Yeah. Your progeny could eat you for generations to come. Wait.
What is more nourishing?
Yeah, a fig.
We're eating grandpa.
Exactly. Okay, now it got weird. That might be a little bit strange for people. Actually, you know what, Dr. Dingman? Are you coming into Chicago at all in the next few weeks? Because we have some tickets to the auto show. I would like to offer a listener who is brave enough. I know that it can be daunting to have your future read, but I have a pair of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, which begins February 13th and runs to the 21st at McCormick Place. And we have tickets courtesy of Fifth Third Bank, a member of FDIC, an exclusive bank of the auto show. So 312-981-7200. We can enjoy Dr. Dingman's skills as he looks into your future, and we'll send you to the auto show. I think that's a kind of a little bonus, don't you think?
That's fantastic. I'm seeing, when you say auto show, I'm picturing a man with a huge forehead broadcasting from the auto show.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Enormous forehead.
Oh, no, I don't know if he would appreciate that. I mean, I know he makes jokes about himself, but our very own Steve Cochran will be broadcasting from the auto show.
Is he really? I did not know that.
Yes, he does. He has, on occasion, comment. He makes his own jokes about it. I think it's just more that he has a smaller face, and so it makes his forehead look bigger.
I'm picturing an enormous, encephalitic head.
Okay.
It's huge.
Okay. By the way, two things real quick from the 312, just a quick question. Dr. Dingman, do you ever travel without pants?
Oh, have you ever driven without your pants? Have you ever found yourself driving without your pants on?
Driving, no. But when I fly, I don't wear pants. I wear my juicy sweatpants.
Oh, so glad you said sweatpants.
And then, Patty, we have Sharon on the line. She'd like to get her future read.
Excellent. Hi, Sharon. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Yeah, hi, Patty. I'm calling from West Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, excellent. Up over by there, almost by Bartlett and such.
That's right. Yeah, very close. And Winfield and all that.
Yeah. Well, Sharon, Dr. Dingman, go ahead and continue, sir.
Yeah. Hello, hi, Sharon. Dr. Dingman.
How
I'm great.
You?
Thank you.
Wonderful. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year too, Doctor.
All right. So what I need from you, sir, is the last three songs that your iTunes or your Android or whatever you use randomly played for you, the song title.
Oh. Okay, the first one, and these will all make sense when you hear them. The first one actually is Hotel California, Glenn Frey and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is David Bowie. There's two or three David Bowie, so take your pick. Now, the third one is a little random, actually. The third one is Barbra Streisand, The Way We Were.
Which one? Oh. Well, that's perfect. What you're doing is you are focusing, clearly, this is a little odd because of what's happened in the last 2 weeks, losing those two great artists. Clearly, you're looking back and enjoying the career and the all the wonderful music that those two gentlemen who've now passed on have brought to us. And you were considering the way they were, really.
Absolutely. Oh, that's very interesting. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I find you to be a I'm getting... Because what happens is I hear these, I get the song titles, and then I get pictures in my mind, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing you looking back. You're a very intelligent person, and I feel that you're at a balancing point in your life where you've taken stock, you've gotten off the carousel, if you will, for a breather, and you're looking back and kind of taking stock in your life. I'm sensing you just had a milestone birthday recently, yes?
You're very spot on. Actually, within about 3 weeks, I'll have a very big milestone birthday. Shall we just say that it will qualify me for Medicare?
Oh, okay, wonderful. I was going to say 21, and now you can drink legally.
Oh, okay, right, if only.
Okay, so you are taking stock. You've traveled almost 65 years. You are looking back with fondness and affection for these two great artists who have, I'm assuming, brought you joy and entertainment throughout your life, and kind of pausing and assessing your life as you move into this next chapter of your life. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate, Doctor. Hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And are you more concerned now with learning about... a romantic future or business future or something else? I'm sensing relationship is what is on your mind.
Oh, possibly, but I'm actually unattached currently. I'm a widow. More family, I would think, would be my real focus at the moment with my two adult children.
Right. But you said you're a widow and you are attached. How long have you been attached?
No, I'm unattached. Unattached. Single.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so
That's
sorry.
Okay.
I'm seeing a new dawn. The image I'm getting is a California sunset in reverse. I'm seeing the sun coming up over the Pacific Ocean and kind of beginning a new day, a new chapter in your life where perhaps it surprises even you.
Well, that sounds really great. I'm a Chicagoan, born and raised in a little village, actually. But I've lived all over the country, and I did live in California, love California, the Bay Area. And I didn't have any plans to actually move back or be back, but it would be a real delight if that were to come true.
I don't necessarily mean physically moving to California. I'm seeing a new chapter in your life opening up. With a friend, perhaps. Is there anyone on the horizon who is a special friend to you, perhaps? Someone that is maybe a friend of one of your children? You have two children?
That's correct. Yes, I do have two. I have a daughter, and yes, I have a daughter's eldest, and my son, my daughter. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm seeing one of each, yeah. And they love you very much. And I'm sensing that the boy has a friend, a special friend of a friend of his that he wants you to meet.
Really? Fascinating.
I'm seeing. Yeah.
Well, I'm all for it. I'll certainly have to question my son. He's actually staying with me currently. He just graduated from college.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. You seem very happy and well-adjusted, and the music that you're listening to, the Glenn Frey and the David the Bowie, how obviously their recent passing was somewhat seemingly sudden and sad, but they brought you great joy in your life. You're a music person, yes? You enjoy
yes,
music.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so, yes. Absolutely.
Do you play? Are you a musician? I'm sensing that you have some musical ability.
That's very kind of you. No, actually, not much. I was a dancer, but musically, yeah. Not so much. My son is musical, but
I was actually seeing you at a dance, enjoying. I thought you were in the band, but perhaps you were dancing. That's what
yeah, I was.
The music
I was
moves
a
you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's yeah, true. Well,
the
very
music
much.
Physically moves you. That's what dancing is.
Yes. Yeah.
The music, and some people can do it, and some people they can't do it, even though they try at weddings and such, and they look foolish. But you have a certain gift for the dancing and the lyrical expression of your personality.
Okay, right. Well, I'm more of a communications person, like the ladies there. Yeah, I majored in communications and English communications and many, many decades ago, and also radio broadcasting back in, you know, another lifetime. I'm more of a communications
wow.
person, yeah.
Well,
and
I think that was going to be a soon, through, could be your daughter, but I'm sensing the son, there will be a communication of someone, an older gentleman, who you may want to spend time with.
Well, I love that idea.
Something new in your life coming. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, we'll have to see. I'll certainly question my son in regard to all of his friends. Of course, most of his friends' fathers are much younger than myself because I was an older mom.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, I'll hear that. Rock that cradle. Rock that cradle.
I'm saying.
You're an old soul, Sharon.
I believe that to be true, Doctor. Yes.
Yeah. Do you? Is there a certain country in Europe that you feel an affinity to? I'm seeing France or Spain.
Actually, more Ireland and Scotland and Wales. I have my family roots. A lot of my family roots are there. I've always had an affinity, I think, for Ireland and Wales and Scotland. Even
now,
though I love Italy. I've been to Italy. I love Italy.
You've heard of William the Conqueror, yes? In 1066,
of course.
He conquered the island and was the first king. I'm sensing in a past life you were not William. You were not William the Conqueror. You were an associate of his, a lieutenant.
Oh, really?
You were Gary the Herter.
Mm. Gary the Herter.
What's your name? Gary the Herter.
Okay.
You would hurt people on purpose that William told you to hurt. You were like muscle for this guy.
Okay. That's interesting. I'm a very sensitive soul in this lifetime, and I do believe I have a purple aura at this point in my journey. That's fascinating. I never heard that before. I'll have to look into Gary the Herder.
Yes, you the Herder, like hurting someone.
With a T,
oh,
right.
Hunter, excuse me, Hunter. Okay, Hunter.
Not a sheep herder. Like, I'm going to punch you and it's going to hurt. You were Gary the Herder.
Gotcha.
And you have the purple aura in this life, and you are sensitive in this life because you were so brutal in this life back in the 11th century. The pictures I'm seeing is William the Conqueror, a big man with furs and a big, strong man, would just point at the person, and he would go over and you would hurt them.
Yeah, I think I get the picture. That's truly fascinating. I've never suspected anything like that in any of my past lives, so this is really new to me.
There you go.
You
wow.
Watch,
hey.
Do you want boxing or wrestling? now?
Pardon me, do I watch either of those sports?
Yes.
No. My son has always very much been into wrestling, but myself, yes. And my son actually did wrestle in high school. But no, yes. Not myself. As a child, I grew up watching it in Chicago on WGN.
Well, because when you were younger, you were closer uh-huh. to your past lives when you were a child, right?
You're right.
In this incarnation, you're fresher and you're able to get in touch with your past lives more. As you get older, you forget. And I think
yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Because you have eschewed them in this life because you were such a badass in this other life.
I don't know how to respond to that. It's truly eye-opening.
I mean, it was your name. They would Gary the Hurter. You would come over and you would hurt this one. You would hurt that one. And
my.
So drink mead. Yeah, that's what
Oh, my.
Quite colorful past in your other life.
I hear. I'm telling you, Patty, it's truly. This is all new to me. This is extremely eye opening.
It's actually old.
I have to say.
Yes, it's old to you.
Well, what a unique and wonderful reading. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you so much.
Of course, we're sending you to the auto show, and maybe who knows.
Yeah. Fabulous. My son will be so thrilled, as am I. I love the Chicago Auto Show. I think it's fabulous. Big fan of yours, Patty.
Oh,
go
thank
get him
you.
Down there in Springfield now.
I'm trying. We're I don't know if they'll...
Yeah, I know. So am I over here. We're hoping. We're counting on you, Patty. Thank you. And thank you very much, Doctor.
Oh, wonderful. Hang on the line so Craig can get your information.
You're going to meet this person that I'm seeing at the auto show. Chevrolet.
Okay, I'll get back to you guys and give you an update and tell you whether that actually happens or not.
Oh, please do. Thank you so much. Have fun.
Thank you. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. Dr. Dingman, where can people find your information and follow you as you travel all over the world sharing your skills?
I'm on the interweb, Patty.
And they can go to, what's the website? I think it's psychic, iTunesPsychic.com?
iTunesPsychic.com will be periscoping, which is like a live broadcast Monday at 8 o'clock Pacific time from the Improv when I do the show there. And there's a calendar of where I'm going to be when on the website that you can hear and see a video and follow me on the Twitter.
Wonderful. And I'm so sorry I'll be missing your show. I'll be in Los Angeles, but I can't follow. I can't make it to your show because I have this show, and I wish I could make it. It would be a wonderful opportunity.
Oh,
I know.
Well, next time, Patty, maybe you can come and see the show in Australia.
Ooh, done. I promise to wear my juicy sweatpants as well.
It's the only way to fly.
Have a wonderful evening, Dr. Dingman. We look forward to hearing from you again. It's always a pleasure.
Ditto, Patty, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. More after this on 720 WGN. Cowardice.
Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this.
I just see Esmeralda's head exploding is really all I can feel.
I can't stand this.
By the way, that starts with cowardice. Are you serious? So Trump is saying he will not participate in the GOP debate on Fox News because of Megyn Kelly. Is that the news report, Esmeralda?
That is correct.
Yeah, because he doesn't like the kinds of questions that she asks?
Yeah.
Or does he not like the questions she asks, or does he not like the way he behaves when she asks them? Because the day
you
after...
blew my brain up.
Because, you know, I mean, she seems to bring out the worst in him. Although,
absolutely.
How much worse can it get than saying he would he could shoot somebody right. on a New York street and his followers would not leave him?
She has the most pointed questions for him out of anyone that I think he's dealt with on the stage. And they're fair questions, I think. So he
right.
just seems scared.
Yeah, well, and he's saying that he doesn't want the networks to continue to get rich on the debate. There's somebody who's saying, like, so now what, debates are a socialist function?
Right. And Donald Trump is worried about people making money.
Yes, that's a concern
that
he has. Mm-hmm. He's a little worried. Well, I guess because he's not being paid directly.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Well, their numbers are huge when he's out there. Because people want to know what he's going to say next.
Huge.
I'm sorry we can't see each other making that face. Although, you know, it's probably for the best.
Yeah, it's for the best.
So yeah, I guess he doesn't want to participate in the debate because Megyn Kelly.
What's really cool about Fox News, and that's not a sentence I say very often, is that they're really defending her. They're coming out saying that he asked for her to get removed, and Fox News said no. And now Trump, who's leading in all the polls and seems to be the guy you don't want to pull out of your debate.
Right.
You know, he's gone and Fox News doesn't care.
Well, it's an interesting standoff, isn't it? Because his numbers are so huge.
Huge
when he's in the debates. And I mean, like, that's a big walk off. Here's something I can't believe I'm quoting these two things. But Ted Cruz on Mark Levin's radio show said if Donald Trump is afraid to defend his record, that speaks volumes. If he thinks Megyn Kelly is so scary, what does he think he'll do with Vladimir Putin? So that's
bam,
boom.
Take that.
What is that debate going to look like without? I mean, like, do you think it'll be a big vacuum? Like, no, everyone's going to be completely thrown off rhythmically.
Well, and I just want to warn Donald Trump if he does wind up getting the nomination, scary thought. But if he does, he's going to have to deal with a lot of pointed things from the person he's running against, the Democrat, whoever it is, Hillary or someone else. If he can't handle Megyn Kelly, can he handle an opponent?
Right, and he's not. I guess he's saying it's not that he can't handle her; he doesn't want to deal with her. Is there a difference there?
I don't know, because if you can handle somebody, why don't you just go
and just deal with it?
It's all that blood that's going to pour out of something, right?
Oh God, that was the weirdest moment in. I'm sure there are weirder moments in political history, but when a candidate who says he wants to be the president of the United States refers to a woman's menstrual cycle, where are we going?
Not a good place.
What
not
is
good
left?
Places.
Oh, it was so. That was so bizarre. Yeah, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I even repeat. But Esmeralda makes a good
it's all
point.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Awful.
I don't know. So can you imagine the campaign? I mean, this. Okay, 312-981-7200. I know there are people who still really are very much in the Trump camp. I know that you're very passionate, and I just want to know what your thoughts are. Does anything challenge your conviction in voting for Donald Trump? 312-981-7200. Again, I know that Trump supporters are very passionate, and we invite you into the conversation and anybody else who wants to join. We talked to someone not too long ago, I believe last week, who was a Trump supporter last year when he jumped into the race, but has since changed his mind. Because I think, to me, the most fascinating thing isn't really Donald Trump. It's the reaction that he gets. When he says that he could shoot somebody on the street and the audience cheers that, that's sort of jarring for me. It's one thing for someone to say something. It's another for people to go, yeah, that's so surreal. I find it disturbing. So
yeah,
let me know.
No, agreed completely. We got Kelly on the line. She wants to give us her Trumpinion.
Oh, we need a Trumpinion from Kelly. How you doing, Kelly?
Hi. I just want to say when he first announced and I watched him, there was this movie one time, and I can't remember exactly what it was about, but there was this guy who wanted to run for president, and he ended up, like, grabbing this kid and putting up in front of him, and he ended up not getting the election. I don't remember that movie. It's about this guy who could touch people and see the future, whatever.
Ooh.
But it was a pretty famous movie, but finally, and the one thing he saw, and the reason why this one guy wanted to assassinate him because he could see he was going to be a bad president, was because when he touched him, he saw him, like, basically starting a nuclear war. And he goes, in the muscle, and the bombs are flying or something like that. And that kind of reminded me of Trump. I mean, if you could have seen that movie, I wish I could remember the name of it, and it was also a TV series. But anyway.
Oh, you're talking about The Dead Zone?
I think that was it, yeah. And it was just, that kind of, and then also this other thing about saying the country, we're going to be great again,
Right.
I'm sorry, does anybody remember, like, the guy named Hitler who wanted to make Germany great again? I know he's not quite Hitler, but still, it's just a little bit off.
Well, it's the sort of magnetism he has for people who want to go to the extreme that I think that's why we invoke word names like Hitler. I think that's what you and I are alluding to, don't you think? Sort of the fervor.
Yes. It's just a little scary. I mean, I know he has a lot of, I think, honestly, a lot of great qualities. Obviously, he's very successful, but I don't think he's cut out to be president. It's a little way too extreme. I hope everybody catches on to that.
Did you watch, like, his shows? I don't even know what the name of it was, where you're fired and stuff like that.
The Apprentice, yeah.
Yes.
And The Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, it is very entertaining. It was, but, granted, he's, very smart guy, done great deals and all that, but I just, You know, I just think it's a little bit too extreme to be president of the United States. And I know there's once people get in there, sometimes they do strange things. But I think it's just a little bit too much.
Well, thank you so much for joining the conversation, Kelly. And I think you're right. It's a little too much. Have a great night.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye.
Talk to you again. Bye, Kelly.
It's sad that Kelly says she hopes that people figure that out. I mean, as you've said before, Patty, at what point do we give up on that? Because we're really close to the start of all this, and people have not given up on him yet.
Craig, that first night, I just remember you shaking your head when I was talking about it and how he was going to have a lot of people supporting him. And you started getting phone calls and angry ones that first night.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like being right. I don't like being right about this one. This was a weird one.
We can try to not be one-sided about this, but Trump is definitely polarizing. And
You know, my obligation as a talk show host isn't
to give your opinion.
It's to give my opinion. You know,
amen,
I was thinking about that one day. Again, I was when a listener had said that, did you hear what Bill Leff said about, another comedian and the way you're doing it, you're judge and jury. But why would I come on and give the exact same opinion as another talk show host? That seems.
Or give no opinion. That would be such a boring show.
Yeah, I remember, the things that we talk about and the take that we have isn't going to appeal to everybody. We try to get to a lot of different things. We change, I have a nonlinear sort of pattern of conversation. So eventually, hopefully, I get to something that you kind of find interesting. It's insight. It's a perspective, and that's why we like to invite listeners to call
and
join.
Exactly, yeah. And if you feel like we're not giving the opinion that you want to hear, 312-981-7200, you throw it in there yourself.
Yeah, toss it in there.
Give us a Trumpinion.
Craig has alerted me on the times when I get a little too overly passionate, and I check myself so that it's a comfortable and safe place for everybody. So I'm not yelling at anyone.
Amen. We got Steve on the line. He wants to give a Trumpinion.
All right. Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
Steve, are you there?
Hey, Steve.
Oh, Steve hung up.
Oh, Steve. Did he not feel safe?
I don't know. We're trying to make him feel safe.
Oh, I thought I did okay with that. Was it too safe? Did it seem too friendly?
We were overly safe.
We were overly safe.
We safe
saying,
creeped him out.
Do we have any texts that wanted to jump into the conversation? Because those are welcome as well.
People telling us thank you, really great show tonight. They agree with
that's
us.
Nice.
Yeah, really friendly texters tonight.
Thank you.
That guy's okay.
Well, and it isn't easy to come down to Springfield, I think, for a lot of people. You've got jobs, you've got lives to live. And it is, as much as I can share with what's going on down here and the tone, what we're going to, what the prospects are for any cooperation between the executive branch and the legislative branch in Illinois. I'm not Dr. Lars Dingman.
No.
But I don't
and
have.
We would never try to be from the 918. I don't know where that area code is.
I don't know. Either.
I think Donald Trump must have asked Fox to remove Megyn Kelly, and they refused. That's true. We actually do know that. Mm-hmm. And now he's throwing a tantrum to get his way, but Fox is saying no, Mr. Trump. It's time for a timeout.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how weird would it be if Fox was like, okay, we'll bench her?
Yeah. If one candidate can dictate who gets to be on the panel, that mm-hmm. seems really odd.
It does. By the way, that is northeastern Oklahoma is the 918.
Well, thank you.
The Tulsa area. I have a lot of devices in front of me. That sounded really naughty.
That sounded real naughty.
No, the kinds that the not you know I don't look at these when I drive. okay, maybe sometimes I do. But I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
No, it's fine. You can take a break if you want. You can take
I'm
a break.
In a hotel room. Don't check my browser history. More after this on 720 WGN.
It had to go. Maybe next time, I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
So I've told Esmeralda, I've told Craig to when I'm out, he goes full bore with the dancing, and I think that we've been chair dancing a little bit lately because we're burning out a little bit. I don't want to we've got a lot of stair climbing to do, Craig. I know that you're training while I'm not there. I know that you're staying
so
on top
I'm
of
training so much.
You're eating a lot of pizza, aren't you, Craig?
I eat a lot of pizza. Yeah.
And by the way, that Fight for Air Climb is coming up on March 6th. Mm-hmm. That's going to be at the Presidential Towers. You can climb 1, 2, 3 or all 4 towers, and you can go to the fightforairclimb.org website and join the WGN team. And well, a bunch of us are climbing. I know Stephanie and Dave Edit will be there. Sarah from sales. I think Jackie. I know she's training.
Yeah, I
with
think
us.
She is climbing as well.
that was a moment when we were training, and she was gone. And I'm pretty sure she not only lapped us, she came back down and then went back up again while we were still.
Real quick, I think Shanae might also be running, and she helped us create a video that's right now on WGNRadio.com of you at Block 37.
Excellent. I love that theater, by the way.
You
so
were at
good.
The Star Wars premiere last month, and that video is finally up, so that's pretty awesome.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was Esmeralda, I was talking about this the other night, where they can, you've got a tray that sort of comes over, like you're in a hospital bed almost, you know, where the tray's like just chest level, and you could lay back and just shovel food into your face. It's fantastic.
Ooh.
And you press a button, and a server or a waitress comes by.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. So I'm looking forward. I haven't had a chance to see that video. So check it out at WGNRadio.com. And it's on our Patty Vasquez show page.
I'm sharing it right now.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Perfection. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun to do. And we also will have a video soon of our training for the Fight for Air Climb. I know we had a lot of stories that we didn't get a chance to talk about. One of the things that we Rahm Emanuel is obviously struggling to figure out what to do with the crime in Chicago. John, did you read John Cass's piece? I think you did, Craig, because you sent it to me about Rahm Emanuel not knowing, not even showing up to answer, what the plans are. That a year ago he would have been standing in front of microphones saying that the city's going to get tough on crime and we're going to add more cops. And the thing is that's the response, but that's not the solution to the problem. And we have one of the highest rates of unemployment. Is it more than almost half the black population in the city of Chicago is neither in school nor in black men in school or at work?
Correct.
And that's astounding. I mean, that is astounding and chilling, and I think answers a lot of questions. We've talked about how there is systemic racism in the city of Chicago, that there is a lack of opportunity for such a big portion of the people who we've decided to write off and just figure, well, they're doing it to themselves. Well, if there's no access to mobility, to upward mobility, what else is there but to, turn to drugs, to turn to gang activity? Education, investing economically in neighborhoods, making jobs available, give opportunities. And people will say, we had Kevin Bozeman on one night, and he said that he gets tired of his own, of people of his own background using race as an excuse. For sure, that might be part of it. Some of the way, there's such a conversation now about whether or not talking about the Oscars that's whining. But I think the bigger picture is that that's a reflection, right? We look to popular culture for a reflection of who we are. How do we see ourselves? We go to the movies to be touched and moved by stories told by, writers, producers, actors.
Exactly.
And if they all tend to come from the same background, I mean, I've seen so many of the movies and I don't know.
Well, what you're saying is we look to relate to something, and you need people that you can relate to, and it seems like at least this time around there's a lot of people of one type, and they're that's not as relatable for it's very weird. I thought that some movies were really good this year that were starring minority people that could have been nominated. It's very odd.
Did you see Gina Rodriguez? If you follow her on Twitter, every Monday she's going to be profiling a Latino actor or actress.
Nice.
Or someone who is in the industry telling stories, and she's calling it hashtag Movement Mondays. So every Monday she'll be posting something, and this week it is the actor who starred as Poe in the Star Wars movie.
Awesome, yeah.
So that's kind of it's kind of a do something about it. The Academy Awards is not where we, need to start. The Academy Awards are, again, that is a reflection of what's happening. There is a lack of representation in jobs that are better paying for African Americans, for Latinos. And, it's the result of all those things, the cumulative effect. It's not, now there's all these arguments about how you can't vote for someone just because they're black. I think it's more that there aren't stories being told about that population. But the movies that are nominated, have you seen Esmeralda, do you feel like you've seen a lot of the movies? Because I feel like I'm
not really.
They're kind of boring. And it's not because, I like the Steve Jobs movie, I guess. I saw Brooklyn. It's cute.
Nobody saw the Steve Jobs movie, by the way, except apparently all the people that vote in the Oscars.
Is he nominated? Because it's up for the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which is why I have the movie. I don't even know if he's nominated for the movie.
Best Picture, The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight.
I have Room. I don't even know what that one's about. I just don't feel. I feel
that
like
that one's very dramatic. That one I have seen.
Room.
Yeah, and that one I really liked.
Do you have a log line? How would you describe
it? So it's about this woman who's she's captured for about 7 years in a shed.
Oh, God.
By someone, and she has a child, and she tries to escape. And that's, you know, that's in the trailers and everything, but the whole story is really more about afterwards and her having to deal with that and her son and that whole situation.
Wow. All right. That sounds really heavy.
Yeah, it's
okay. very heavy.
Yeah. By the way, Fassbender is nominated for Best Actor.
Best Actor. Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of the movies that, like, when I was coming of age that really impressed me when I was really little. Like, my parents took me to see movies like, you know, Amadeus was a great movie. And I remember The Color Purple and Amadeus, I think, came out in the same year. I mean, I remember there was one year where, like, every movie was just, and they were so wildly different from each other. You know, I just, there doesn't seem to be a movie in this field where you go, I know that Nick loves Mad Max. I haven't had a chance to see it. And that one, I mean, at least is wildly different than everything else in the pack. But, these all just seem to be kind of like these slow unfolding stories that maybe because I watch them so late at night after we get off of work, I'm like, The Big Short.
Come on.
I didn't like The Big Short. It just seems so smug about, telling us and trying to explain to us how the mortgage, bubble burst and, you know, the kind of how it started. They have these moments where an actor who actually has nothing to do with the cast or the story turns to the camera to try to explain what just happened. Have you seen this, Craig?
No, I really wanted to see this actually because of all the names in it. There's a lot of names in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe because it made me anxious because I remember, I mean, I knew a lot of people who, you know, struggled in 2008. My husband lost his job in 2008 because of the crash. You know, he worked in he was a communications manager at a PR firm. And that was one of the things that a lot of investors had to cut because they were losing money so quickly. So it was maybe that's why I didn't like it. It was very stressful for me.
The Martian, comedy of the year, apparently. So it's nominated. I like that one. I like Brooklyn, and then I like Bridge of Spies. Those are the three that I saw from this list.
Yeah, I haven't seen Bridge of Spies. I thought Brooklyn was cute. I think my mother's Coming to America story is cooler. Maybe that's why I wasn't. It was cute.
You've got a movie to write now.
Yes, I do. I will, at least a book or something.
Something like that.
Did you? The Italian guy in Brooklyn was
really
charming.
Yeah, I love the Italian
charming.
Guy.
He was so charming.
He liked the Irish women, but he's a nice Italian guy.
Yeah, and it was great because I don't know. There was a scene where someone's talking about, does he talk about baseball and his mother? And she's like, no, not at all. And then they're sitting at the dinner table, and they're like, he hasn't talked to you about the Dodgers at all?
Right.
Yeah, it's sort of like
he saved that, but he brought her to a game.
Like he knew he shouldn't share that.
Not right away.
He's like the girl that only eats salads when they go out to eat.
Right. He's one of the Super Mario Brothers, by the way, because he's a plumber.
Yes.
So.
Now he's always telling her about.
He's always
pipes.
Telling her about plumbing and stuff.
Yeah. And why he smells so badly.
Right.
See, it's a sweet movie.
See?
It just like
You're
I said.
Coming around, Patty.
I just don't see it as an Academy Award type movie.
Did you see The Martian?
I did not.
Okay.
It's like, I know a lot of people like that movie. I just don't
know. Yeah, it was fine.
Well, I think a lot changed, too, when they went from 5 movies to 10 movies.
Yeah, I thought that they did that just to throw some stuff in that we all knew wasn't going to be nominated, but they wanted to bring
like comedies.
More famous people.
Right. Yeah. I think comedies and animated films, because there was a period where like so many animated films were great but not going to be nominated.
Yeah, Pixar never had a shot at that.
Oh, well. What
Probably else? Still don't.
Are you going to watch the Academy Awards?
Yeah, I'm actually going to live blog them for WGN again.
Oh, that's fun.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
And I'm doing the halftime show not this weekend, but next weekend.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, good. That's good to know. And have you binge-challenged somebody lately?
I just completed a binge challenge that will be up on Friday, and it was with Eric and Tim, video guys that used to work here. We did Friends versus Seinfeld.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we discussed which show was better.